The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
And Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Flying it, thanks. We've lots of stuff to get stuck into the game at the weekend, and we haven't had John since the team was named, obviously. Bit of a mix of the new and the old, and on the back row to begin with, Quiddy, if we can. It's been given a real shake up there with Doris Connors and CJ. Peter Manny on the bench. Is it the right call, the right mix? How do you see it?
Yeah, it is the right call and it is the right mix. To make it simple, I think we need some sort of change and changing of the guard a little bit, because, you know, there's been a bit of a cloud over the team since that World Cup. 2019 was really disappointing. So I think we need some fresh blood. We need guys who just get an opportunity to go and play and see if they can bring a little bit more energy and enthusiasm. As a former player, I never write players off. I never say, well, if you're dropped off the Irish team, that's it. Because sometimes a reaction can be fantastic and someone can go away and, you know, a bit of pressure comes off them. So someone like Peter O'Mahony is still a fantastic player, but he's got to change his game a little bit now. He's got to look at what Doris is going to bring. And if Doris plays well, obviously there's pressure on him. Josh van der Fleer, he now has Dan Levy. All of them have Dan Levy kind of leaning over their shoulder. And, you know, you saw Will Connors play against Saracens. Leinster were beaten. Van der Fleer comes in the following week and he's outstanding in the final. So it can all change very quickly. You get these opportunities and you've got to take them. But I'm excited by that. I'm glad Hugo Keenan is in the team as well.
You mentioned Peter Romani, Quinny. Is he lucky to make the 23?
I'm not sure. It's Jack Conan or Peter O'Mahony at this stage. I think he gets there on experience. He's probably fortunate. The word lucky is, it's like pulling two names out of a hat. I think he's fortunate because he probably has the CV and the experience, but he's under pressure. There's no doubt about that. Peter will know that himself. He's an honest character. He knows that he's got to perform and play well. And I think we saw a very good reaction from him when he didn't start against Scotland. Caelan Doris got picked ahead of him in that game, and we saw a really good reaction against Scotland and Wales. So he's fortunate.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll relish a battle with all these young pups coming up as well, that he'll want to put down a marker for. Speaking of which, Connors obviously gets his first cap then, and apparently reading some of the comments during the week that he's been milling lads out of it, left, right and centre around the training park during the week, gets his first cap. What is it like this fella? Is he horses for courses sort of player, and so fits against Italy, or has he enough of an all-around game to fill that slot going forward over the long term?
I think he's enough of an all-round game. He's a really good footballer, a good carrier of the ball as well, but obviously his biggest strength is his low tackle technique. It's not a chop tack that you dive out and he takes everybody out with his shoulder. His arm leg tackles really low are outstanding as well. But he has that ability to power through the tackle, and he's hard. He's a real physicality about him. I looked at a still shot last night online of Will Connors, Munster versus Leinster, and Chris Farrell was upright running with the ball, and Will Connors' left hip was on the ground. So he literally slides along the ground, and he was tackling Chris Farrell below his knees, which is incredible because to be that good at such a low tackle, and it's so effective, and there's so much power accelerates through it, it chops the player really quickly. So his all-round game is very, very good. I think that's his biggest strength, but obviously you'd like to see him carry more ball. You look at Sam Kane's performance last week for New Zealand. It was a phenomenal performance. Carries, tackles, jackals, the full box of tricks, and I think Connors is capable of upping his game in all those facets and you know, but obviously you don't want to take away someone's strengths. He brings some, so the horses for courses thing for surely you don't, is very, very important, but you don't want to get tagged with someone who's just a chop tackler.
No.
He has a lot more to his game, but I think he has an edge and a presence. And like I said, Dan Levy's back back with Leinster tonight, and hopefully that goes well for him. But we need something different in this game, Adrian. We need something going forward in the next few weeks.
Yeah, yeah, and it does feel from some of the, you mentioned some of the names already, but certainly from a selection point of view, that maybe there is an element of the kind of transition about this. The, you mentioned the Connors tackle thing there, because I know some of the as teammates were talking about him chap tackling all over the place during the week, and like that technique and the destructive nature of it in some ways, and like the benefit that can be in some games. What's the, is it right place, right time for that kind of a challenge, or is this guy, like, it's a sort of challenge you see occasionally in games, but is this a trademark of this guy and something that Ireland can use to their advantage?
I think he's a picked an ability, not just for chop tackles. So he's a really good number seven. He's aggressive, he's physical. We need that, and we need a little bit more of an edge. There's been a lot said about physically being dominated by a couple of teams in the last 2 years. So if he plays well, the perspective changes, doesn't it? He now becomes someone who's maybe your starting seven, and that's the way people view him. And players grow on self-confidence and belief when they get opportunities. So if he gets a good performance tomorrow, Hugo Keenan plays well, they're now internationals. They can walk around with their kind of chest out a little bit. So it comes with experience. But I think he's not someone, and I'd hate for him to just be labelled a chop tackler. I think he's a really good footballer. But maybe what he needs to do a little bit more is carry the ball, because he's abrasive and he's aggressive and he's a good stepper as well. But I'm excited to see the back row. I think the balance of the back row, I think if you look at Caelan Doris's strengths, so many footballing ability, he's a stepper, good tackler, he's a good jackal player as well. I think if you looked at his game towards Peter O'Mahony, Peter O'Mahony's biggest strength is his line out. It's phenomenal. His ability to rob and poach ball. So will Ireland lose something a little bit with that, but gain more maybe footballing ability? Doris is 6'3" or 6'4". He's a big man, so he probably needs to get better and learn about that line-out stuff as well. But I think it's a great opportunity for them. And, it's something that I've thought about this. What do we want to get out of tomorrow's game? Obviously a bonus point win, but I think we need something different from Ireland to get away from being predictable. If we see the predictable, slow game again tomorrow, I know you can't just rip up the script completely and go from one situation to another, but I think we need to see some momentum, some attack, some go forward. And like, I don't think you're not going to put 50 points in Italy tomorrow. They actually have a very decent side, and I think... So if anyone's thinking, well, if we don't beat Italy by 30, 40 points, it's a disaster. I just would love to see more flow and attack and a bit of energy and tempo to the game, and obviously get a bonus point win.
Yeah, Jamie Heaslip, you were talking on Monday with the lads about the, and we wanted to expand a little bit that on the style. Jamie Heaslip was saying that he's not sure that we can be expansive with that current Ireland crop. And like you say, I don't know, we've tended not to use Six Nations games as sort of trial grounds for a shift in style or whatever. But just on that point then, specifically about the group that are there and how challenging it's going to be, like you say, what would we like to see? I think the country would like to see us be expansive and fling the ball about and score tries, particularly against a team like Italy, while the players won't admit that themselves.
And that's not, Adrian, that's not just hit the wingers every time off set piece and they're being expansive. I mean, it's changing the mental approach to how we play, how we offload, how, you know, the predictable one-out carries that we've seen a lot of in the last couple of years, which have been incredibly effective at times, but you're hitting brick walls then and you're figuring out, what do we do now? Where's the other option? Like I said, New Zealand, Australia last week, if anyone goes back and watches it, you see second rows, back rows, props, offloading, putting little passes out the back door, looking for space rather than running into the contact. Of course, there's times in the game when you've got to truck the ball up, but just having variety on those carries and stuff like that. You've now got Ty Burns starting and Caelan Doris, who are really, really good footballers. So how are we going to use them in wider channels? To run at backs, to get through space, to maybe do something that they're brilliant at doing, which is running at guys in open field and just do things naturally, like step, fend guys, get little offloads, and suddenly then you get in behind the defence and you can play. It's that structure breaks up and you just play rugby. So it's a collective thing where I say be more expansive. And I'm not talking about running the ball on our own 22 and running out from our own goal line. It's just when we get into being a little bit less predictable, and that takes everyone, props, second rows, back rows, and changing that mentality. You can't just suddenly go away from never box kicking the ball, which has been a frustration for people, and probably the execution of the box kicks and the chase and all that kind of stuff. But just seeing a little bit more energy and expansion tomorrow, I wouldn't mind if I saw mistakes. Okay, you have to win the game first, but we've got to attack tomorrow a little bit. And I think it's a home game, and they've got to go for these two games in the next week and give themselves a shot of winning the championship, which is highly unlikely, but still there's an opportunity there.
Yeah, and you talk about the expansiveness, and you talk about some of the players there, like Tadhg Byrne. As excited as we are about the makeup of the back row, like the type five and the replacements that are there don't look especially inspiring. Like, if you look at it, let's say in a Lions context, like how many of them, maybe the two starting props, and after that there's nobody, I don't think, within an Arses Rora getting into that conversation. What are your thoughts about that? I know that,
well,
you name check Ryan Baird obviously before as a player you'd like to see in there, so illness and injury and stuff obviously is accounted for some of that, but the dynamic of that front five and the replacements doesn't look especially inspiring.
It doesn't look frightening either, you know what I mean? It doesn't look bruising. I think Ronan Kelleher is someone, if he gets a run at games with Ireland in the Nations Cup and hopefully Six Nations after in 2021, he's someone who could come into contention for the Lions. I think he has that ability. There's a number of players missing, Adrian. You know, and we're going through a bit of a transitional phase. Larmour's missing, Furlong, Earls, Henderson, Ryan Baird, Kilcoyne, Kelleher, Joey Carberry, Will Addison. So there's a lot of good players there that are missing. And it'll probably take a little bit of time to bring through some more young players from the successful 20s teams that we've seen in the last 2 years. So, and then, like I say, guys who've played a lot in the last couple of years have got to reinvent themselves and hopefully they can get good form back with Ireland and that we can get back challenging for that top spot in world rugby. And you know, the success we had in 18, that should be the template every year to try and go for Grand Slams. I know the World Cup will linger on for another couple of years, but Dave Heffernan is someone who, again, has an opportunity here. He's on the bench and he's probably going to get more chances in the next couple of weeks. Alton Delan, I'm a fan of Alton Delan's. I think he brings huge energy and aggression, but probably lacks consistency and a bit of control at that level. But there is a concern that, you know, the depth charts are being challenged at the moment. But look, you've got to take this one step at a time, beat Italy tomorrow with a bonus point, and then go to Paris. And at least, I think there's probably less pressure on Ireland going to Paris next week, which sounds incredibly strange when given our historic results in Paris, even though we've had success there in recent times. I think there's less pressure. They can go and actually play there and really throw the ball around and go for it in Paris next week. But you can't look too far ahead, because the Nations Cup, I think, will give an opportunity for Andy Farrell to look at different combinations and bring in some young players.
Mm. The other thing we wanted to get your thoughts on quickly before we let you away was the Barbarian story that emerged overnight, that a couple of nights ago a bunch of players, I think 12 of them, had breached the bubble, as it's been referred to, and gone for a night out, or they've gone out anyway for a while, and breached the general protocols around it. Chris Robshaw is the player that's been focused on mainly across the English pages this morning. He's been one of those that was leading the way. The game is, as we sit here now, still in doubt. It'll probably be cleared up in the next few hours as to whether they can get enough ringers in to make it go ahead. But like, it brings into stark contrast the conversation we've been having all morning about whether it's the GAA or the rugby or whatever, about the onus now that's on players and all of these codes to, not be idiots about it, obviously, in that instance.
Well, you know, the GAA has got a fair rap in the last few weeks, and justifiably so, with... like I said, I've seen it in my own community in close by, where club games and championship club games and the celebrations after that, and they've they've taken a fair bit of flack. They're amateur players. I think there's a lot of mistakes being made around that stuff. Here you have professional guys, and I think it's a disgrace what happened. I think it's absolutely ludicrous for them to make a decision as adults, paid professionals, to go out given that everything's going on. And, you know, they're going to be kicked. They're kicked out of the Barbarians now. They put the whole match in jeopardy. And I think the bigger picture here, not just the bloody match against England, it's the message they send out right across the world that, well, we can do this. This is such stupidity. And I think it's a disgrace what they've done. And I'd be infuriated if I was in that Barbarian squad or in the England squad and they jeopardised the game. You know, everybody's had to make sacrifices here for a long, long time. I played for the Barbas. I was over in 2000, I think it was 2010. We played England, and the tradition is to go out and have a meal out every night and have drinks, and it's a total relaxed week, and the training is only run through a few drills and get a little bit of organisation and shape, and it's supposed to be an enjoyable week, and that's kind of the traditional of it. So, but the reality is it's totally different this time, and I'm sure they were told that. Have a few beers in the hotel bar if they're going to do something, but for that number of adults, paid professionals to go out, is an absolute disgrace in my book, and they should be held accountable for it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that what shape that takes. Quinny, look forward to the rugby over the weekend and getting your thoughts next week as well. Enjoy the weekend.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Alan Quinn on the line there, talking all things rugby ahead of the weekend of Six Nations, and obviously that instance as well that happened beyond over the last few days. Still plenty to come. We're going to catch up with Paddy Maher in just a little bit to look ahead to the weekend's hurling. And we'll also be in conversation with Rodrigo y Gabriel.